Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Radio, and we've got Stacy here, the Mutt Man. Welcome to the show, Mutt Man.
Well, thank you very much. It's my honor and privilege to talk to you and try and inform you on what it is I do.
It sounds so funny, Mutt Man. I mean, that's like a nickname my dad would have had from some guy who came calling to the house, and a not exactly complimentary nickname, probably more about the guy's hairdo than anything else,
yeah.
Mutt Man. Well, so what makes you the Mutt Man?
Well, I come from an extensive background of the entertainment field. My family's been doing dog shows since 1932.
And, yeah, those wouldn't be mutts now, would they? Those would be purebreds. Are you the black sheep of the family because you're into the mutts?
No. We've always been kind of mutt-oriented. I mean, we have, all of our dogs were rescued from shelters and things like that. And you get purebreds out of there, too. But
right.
We performed at state fairs, circuses. I've had dogs on television and movies. I was at Disneyland, Disney World, SeaWorld, Busch Gardens. I was in Vegas for about 10 years, had my own show at the Excalibur Hotel and Casino in Las Vegas. I was 3.5 years at the Flamingo Hilton and the Radio City Rockette show, and on and on and on and on and on. But I got too fat and old to perform and entertain, and I decided to try to teach people what it is I do, as far as my take on training is actually communication, and we can actually form a communication like a language with our dogs once we understand dog psychology. And
okay.
Once we truly understand that dogs communicate through a thing called energy, and
okay.
Energy is literally a vibration that they sense. It's how all animals are still in touch with the planet. They know when earthquakes are coming. They know when storms are coming. It's what a homing pigeon uses to fly home. It's what a bat uses in a pitch dark cave. They actually use the vibrational, the earth has a magnetic field around it. It's electrical. Our brains fire on, the neurons fire on electricity. And when you realize that dogs, 99.2% of them, their DNA is gray wolf. Gray wolf's mm-hmm. a pack animal. And when we have a pack animal, horses, dogs, elephants, chimps, monkeys, doesn't matter, they've got to be a leader. And they have to sense the leader through this strong vibration. It's kind of an attitude that we have to take to give our words the authority, be the leader, and not a pack member.
Well, that's kind of interesting right there when you talk about the leader. I mean, I kind of think of a leader of a pack of dogs or wolves is a lot stronger and a different sort of a creature. The communication is different than the leader of the horses. And then the leader of the horses also, it's not a strict linear thing the way it would be with a dog. There's top dog and bottom dog, and everybody in the middle has a spot. Whereas with horses, yeah, they all got a spot. But any grouping changes that. You put three, you know, the sort of vis-a-vis each other, they can have different levels. So it's not as straightforward, right? But this all works the same,
well,
you say?
Pretty much. I mean, the leader in any kind of a pack is responsible. See, we got to remember animals. Survival drives their mind.
Right.
They drink, reproduce. And the leader is responsible for the survival of the entire pack herd, whatever animal we're dealing with. And they do that with what we call high energy. Pack leaders generally born with this energy. They're always on. You listen to me, we'll survive.
Now, the pack leader dies quicker in every species, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Even geese, like even when you think of the geese, the one that's the head of that V in the flying formation does not live as many years as the rest of them.
Well, that's because they're basically taking care of everybody. Yeah, they're on the lookout. They're responsible. You know, they have more duties. Let's put it that way.
So you're saying that this dynamic, the leader and the leader having this energy that commands and directs and that everyone follows, humans can have that, and you can teach that to humans.
Absolutely. Yeah. See, this energy that we communicate through sets off body language, but the energy in a human is called emotions. See, it's the emotion that carries the vibration. And when you think about it, when you meet somebody that's calm and confident and assure themselves, their head up, their shoulders back, they're different than a person that's kind of maybe weak and slump-shouldered and not sure of themselves.
Oh, yeah. No, this is so true of the person who's fed up and irritated when they call their dog to come at the park. You know, you can just hear their frustration, right? And so can the dog as they pull their lips into a fake smile and say, "Come here, Rover." And then you can hear the thought, "I want to wring your little neck. You're making me late," right? And that's what you're talking about, the difference in your energy there?
Absolutely. Because see, here's the thing about energy. It can't lie. Words can. And when we're not calm... it's to project this proper emotion, we have to be. It's an attitude. It's calm, assertive. We can't be emotional. If we get upset, angry, frustrated, dogs control human beings through frustration more than anything. If you know what I mean. If they get you frustrated, they've got the mentality of a 5-year-old child. If they frustrate you, they've got you, and they know it. It's like a kid tugging on your shirt. Mom, let's go look at the toys. Toys are over here. Come on, let's go down this aisle.
Mom, how come Mary gets to have one? How come Julie has one? I'm the only kid who doesn't have one.
Exactly.
I want that. I want that. Please. Okay. So we're emotional as humans. And
how is it that
we can use that with our dogs?
Calm, assertive.
Calm and assertive,
To gain this attitude that I teach people, I call it Kung Fu Diva. Well, there was a show when I was a kid growing up called Kung Fu. It was David Carradine.
I know that one. I caught it in reruns. Okay. Yeah. Grasshopper. For sure.
The reason I call it Kung Fu is because to be a proper pack leader, we have to be calm like a Shaolin priest. See, a Shaolin priest is very disciplined and very in control. He doesn't get upset, mad, angry. Even when bad guys were hitting, coming at him with guns and knives, never panicked, never got upset. He just took his robe off and beat the heck out of him and went on.
Stacey, we're going to break. We'll be back in 1 minute because I want to find out more from the Mutt Man about exactly how we are going to figure. Yeah, I mean, I get it. I get it that the leader of the pack is calm and cool and everybody wants to be with him. He's the cool guy. You know you're safe when you follow him. But, so how do we put this on when maybe we're standing there at the park with our little tiny dog and we're terrified because there's a scrum of dogs heading right for us and we have a feeling that they've got our little guy on the menu as they head over here with their fangs. So, how do we stay calm and be the leader of the pack? We'll find out. Stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf.
And anytime you're near.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat treated to help retain all the natural rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com. Order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf, and we're talking to the Mutt Man, Stacy, and he's telling us all about how, just like the way that character on that TV show used to steal the flame, right? He was so fast, he could put out the flame without the other person touching him. And there were all kinds of tests like this. You had to be completely own emotions. And
well, what I get people to do, there's prayers and meditations for this that I practice, but not during my lesson. I can tell people about them, but the biggest thing I get is people to relax. If I can get you to relax, then you can send the vibration. But the vibration that what we want to send when we deal with the dogs,
how do I keep?
Well, it's called Kung Fu Diva. When we go to address the dogs, we don't ask them to do things, we tell them. But we have to do it like a diva. Because the pack leader knows what it has to have done for the pack to survive. A diva knows what she wants in life, whether it's a purse or a boyfriend. She sees a guy and she goes, he's going to be my boyfriend. And that's all there is to it. He's going to be her boyfriend. She likes a purse. She buys two colors. So
right.
We want to be diva-like with them. We just, it's, hey, you stay, sit, wait, heal, boom. See, and if we project this little, it's almost cocky, it's just this little, you do what I want right now, and expect them to do it. See, the diva expects to get the boyfriend.
I like it.
Yeah, this is actually, have you ever heard of Dr. Wayne Dyer?
I don't think the Powers
of Intention. He's on PBS a lot.
Okay.
But what we create and project is what we get back in life. Well, this is exactly what we can do in controlling our dogs.
Oh, I think more so with animals, because animals are in the here and now all the time. And they're really interested in what's happening right this second. So you can really, if you walk into a room upset, your animals feel it and they respond to it if you rock into a room happy, they feel that and they respond to it. They're almost like little mini mirrors, you know, and they're always looking to see what we're giving out. But so, okay, so recently in Vancouver, we had just yesterday, actually, yesterday at Kitts Beach, really popular, happy beach, there were two people walking dogs on leash. One was a 72-year-old man with a pug. The other was a young woman with a pit bull. And for whatever reason, as they got closer together, the pit bull lunged and grabbed the pug. And neither person could get them apart. Finally, the older man pulled a pocket knife out and stabbed the pit bull. And he actually killed the pit bull. There are no charges. The woman feels terrible. The pug had to have stitches. It's an awful, awful situation. But there's the kind of example where, how would they have behaved differently to avoid that? I mean, heel walking and control, right?
I'll bet you $1,000, Canadian or American, the pit bull was in, well, probably both dogs were in front of their humans.
Right, here's
the thing. To get recognized as a pack leader and to create the eye contact, to have them get looking to us for direction, you have to own the walk, the door, and the presentation of food. See, the walk for a unit, the difference between humans and dogs is...
I agree with you. The walk. You see these people dragged to the park all the way there, and then they let their dog go. Like, it's such a relief to not be dragged anymore. Well, that dog is totally in charge. He's coming back when he feels like it.
Right. Well, see, he's in the excited state of mind. And we know they get an endorphin release when they jump into excited state. That's one reason they're so willing to jump back into the excited state of mind. They want these endorphins. But see, the walk for a human being, we're subject to the laws of choice. We can go on a walk to clear our mind, lose some weight, get some sun. We've got choices. But the walk, and this is why it's the foundation of becoming pack leader, it has to be on the heel. See, when a dog's in front of you, they're showing you their butt. There's no respect in that. And the walk for a dog is about the hunt. The hunt is about food. Food is about survival. The pack leader always leads the hunt until it gives permission to go in front of it and make the kill.
Right, because you can open a gate and say, okay, go. And the same thing with the car. I think I would add to your description of when you have to be in charge. Your dog shouldn't jump in the car before you tell him to. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely.
Or out of the car, even more unsafe.
Every door we go through and cross is where we set the... This is where we actually block excited mind. When we make them stop, we make them stop, wait, relax, then give permission to come through the door, get in the car, go through the gate. And so own the walk, own the door, and own the presentation of food and give permission to eat. Those are the three things that you have to have and be in control of and know how to do properly from what we call a calm, assertive state or this Kung Fu Diva attitude. And if you,
I agree with you about the food, especially. And I think that's a mistake a lot of people make. They think, well, I don't want my dog to be bored while I'm at work, so I'll leave him his food. Well, you don't get credit for that. He thinks that just appeared there, right?
That's true. And get credit for it is what it's all about. See, food's the most important thing in a dog's life because if it eats, it survives. So this food is something we want to place down, make them wait. They look at us, and here we go again, creating the eye contact. Now you can eat, and you give permission to eat. Well, that's between owning that, owning the door, and owning the walk. They're always starting to look to us for correction and direction. And it's really that simple because people want to over-intellectualize this. They think their words mean a lot, but the words mean nothing until you're a pack leader. Because all we use words for is to brainwash. When you get right down to it, words, because they don't know what you're saying. My act when I was in the entertainment industry was comedy. And the biggest part of it is that I trained all my tricks with misdirection. Told the dogs not to do it, and they went and did it.
Oh, funny. Oh, I like stuff like that. Or tricky clue words, like you say to the dog, somebody has a bad habit, and that's their cue to go find a pack of cigarettes in the audience. You know, so, something like that. Like, I like it when you're not really giving away what you're doing, but the dog totally knows.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's it. Exactly. And tone inflection also carries a lot.
I wish we had more time. We don't have much time. So I'd like to invite you to tell our listeners about your website, where they can find you, Muttman Stacy.
It's themuttman.com, all lowercase. And I'm getting ready. I've developed my this lesson as a clinic, and I'm hoping to take it to the next step as a seminar. But I'm getting ready to go on tour in January. I figure I'm going to be on about a three-year tour going around the country, teaching this lesson and raising funds for animal shelters and rescue groups. So if you want me to come to your town, get in touch with me, we'll come raise some money for you and educate a bunch of dogs and mostly people. Because the dogs are no problem.
Eye contact to me is really important. And I deal with it a lot with abused animals and rescue animals that, you get to this, in the beginning, they will not look at your eyes. And you have to respect that. But eventually, it's the ultimate honor when they trust you enough to look and receive your directions. I so want to have you back. Will you join me again on the show, Matt Mann? Can you come back, Stacy?
Whenever you'd like to have me back, I'd love to come back and chat. And I can tell you some entertainment stories and places we performed and a few celebrity friends and things like that too.
Oh, great. Okay. I'm going to hold you to that. I can't wait. How about next week?
Okay.
Is that too soon?
Whenever. You just let
All
me know.
All right. Well, we'll be calling you. I'd really love to have you back, but I've run out of time and we've got the veterinarians waiting, everybody, to answer your medical questions. So stay tuned to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And I love you.
And you know that I really do.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Our dogs are part of our family, an integral part of our lives, providing comfort, exercise, and companionship. All too often, however, this relationship is tested through dog naughtiness and general poor behavior. Our dog does not come when called, digs the garden, and many other issues that create frustration and a break in the relationship we seek. You love him, but you don't like him. Today's e-callers remote trainers have been developed to help you train your dog and overcome these issues that can result in separation from the family and worse. E-collar technology has been developed to help the everyday dog owner. Collars that set limit on the levels of stimulation and therefore limiting mistakes. If you seek a training aid that will assist you overcome the unwanted issues, e-collar technology products have developed dog training technology for the modern world that uses the lowest levels of distractive stimulus to improve behavior and reduce stress. www.ecollar.com. That's www.ecollar.com.
Attention all pet lovers! Do you love your furry pet? Well, I want to introduce to you Paws and Silk, the first all-natural silk-filled pet bedding and apparel line that helps improve your pet's overall health and wellness. Paws and Silk is made using luxurious long-stranded silk and all-natural breathable cotton. Each product will help keep your pet cool and comfortable all year long. Paws and Silk pet beds and coats will also work as a barrier against dust mites and other allergens. Not only are they fashionable, but they also don't take on your pet's odor. Better yet, they're even machine washable. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit Paws and Silk website at pawsandsilk.com to learn more about Paws and Silk and their incredible products. That's PAWSNSILK.com. You can buy directly from the site, and they even ship all over North America. How easy is that? For more information, go to pawsandsilk.com or call their toll-free number, 877-678-7455.
Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, and once again, the great Dr. Kathy Alanovi. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kathy.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I think I'm going to start giving the female guests male adjectives, I decided. Instead of, you know, the lovely, the beautiful, I'm going to do the great, the all-knowing, the, you know.
That'll work. You can call me handsome. I'll take it. I'm old enough.
Handsome. Oh, no. I know a dog named Handsome, and he is very handsome. But, you know, the segment before, I was talking to a guy, and we're going to have him back next week, all about eye contact with dogs, which I think is very interesting. But I also think, and I'm going to talk to him about this more next week, but with other animals, what do you think? You know, with dogs, eye contact in the beginning is, well, with puppies and their moms, it's there. But you get to a period where your dog won't, or a new dog to you won't, or a dog you don't know will not want to have eye contact with you. And then you get to a stage where they will for certain situations, like begging. And then it becomes you have a better relationship with your dog to the point where he's actually seeking out your commands and almost trying to read your mind. He's staring at you. He's looking for it. And that's like all the working dogs. They're looking for it. They're craving it. What about horses and cats and other animals? Is eye contact part of their deal too?
That's what a neat question. They don't care about it in the same way that dogs do. Dogs, it's so much. Everything you just described, it's, you know, dominance. How do I fit into the pack? Is it okay? You know, is this going to be a challenge? Okay, I'm a working dog. What do we need to do? Horses, they're actually more, because they are a prey, you know, with the eyes on the side of the head, they have to run away from the coyote rather than chase the coyote. They're more concerned about where are things, what do they smell like. They're all about giving you a good sniff and that sort of thing. So if you look them in the eye, it's not a challenge like it is potentially in some of our dogs. Cats, are you kidding? Don't waste their time. They don't really care. Cats.
Well, you know what, though? Cats will say hello that way, right? Like when you first walk into your room, you come home. If your cat loves you, and I mean loves you, you're the person the cat likes. If you stare at your cat and close your eyes, 1, 2, 3, and then open them, your cat will do that back to you, right? I always thought that was hello.
That's a cool little communication, isn't it? But if I just, as a stranger, walk down the street and look at a cute little kitty cat and look it in the eye, it's not going to snarl and hiss and run away.
Okay.
Where that could be a challenge to a dog. But yeah, you're right. That's a neat little thing about cats. I went to, here in Indiana, Wolf Park in Battleground, Indiana, they have a bunch of wolves. And I went there the last month. To encounter with the wolves, go into the enclosure with them. You do not make eye contact with the wolves.
Nice.
It's a totally different pack structure. You need to be completely prepared and trained before you're going to that level. It's interesting because our dogs get it. You know, it's kind of one of those remainders left over from when they used to be wolves thousands of years ago.
But I've seen some extreme examples. Like, well, I run this boarding kennel camp, Good Dog, and years and years and years ago, I used to do a similar thing in the city, dog training and walking and that sort of thing. And I had this Rottweiler hound dog rescue, and he was leader of the pack, big dog, 88 pounds, solid muscle. But occasionally there'd be a bigger dog in the group, like a wolf or something like this, 100-pound dog, 120-pound dog. And what he would do is he would actually walk straight with his head facing to the side. Oh, like he could bump into things. He would look completely so much the other way. It was like, I don't see you. I don't have to deal with you. If I don't see you, I'm not challenging you, but I'm not losing face either because I don't even see you. Like, it was like so convenient for him. It was really funny.
Funny. Yeah, and it's so many things. And think about, I mean, our kids do that to us, right? Give us a dirty look and stare you down, that sort of thing. It's just like the dogs. Just stare them down longer.
Well, and I think the looks, the eye contact is definitely part of mating, isn't it? It's part of the sexuality of animals, but maybe people too. I think eye contact is a big deal, maybe.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You're going to look straight on. Is it without blinking? Do you blink? Is it that sideways look? What kind of contact do you have with that? Yeah, I'm trying to think about other animals and eye contact. I don't think cattle care that much.
Yeah, I once worked with mountain lions, and there was a whole booklet of rules about what you couldn't do, like never wear perfume, never go in there when you're menstruating, all these rules. But there was nothing on there about staring at them, which I thought was really unusual, having been a dog trainer. Here I am looking at a mountain lion who's much more powerful and scary and doesn't really care if I look at him. Not really.
Yeah.
Don't walk in front of him, though.
Obviously, for him, it's about smell, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Smell and position. I mean, how important is smell? And humans, we really don't smell anything like any animals. Like, we don't have the sense of smell like animals. And so what do we lose by not having that?
And the hearing. We lose a lot just for reason, if you call it that, the way we misuse it. But right now in my area, we've got just below freezing weather. The sun is out. The trees are crisp with frost. It's unusual for us. We're usually drowning in rain by now. But 100 eagles a day are arriving here. Every single day, 100 new eagles show up because the salmon run came. And it's just fascinating. There's not a day goes by that I don't look up in the sky and see a bald eagle just flying over my house, on my way, you know, on my way to the eating grounds. So, yeah, it's like it's a cafe. But the smell, when you go near those rivers right now, even a human can smell the dead fish. It's a terrible thing. Dogs are drooling. Huh. Humans are rolling up the windows.
That's funny.
We also had a really nice story in the news about seals. And, oh, I only have 2 minutes left. I don't think I can tell you the seal story. Well, I will. Because if anybody wants to look it up, you can look it up. They saved these 7 harbor seals that were, you know, abandoned, orphaned, injured, whatever. Got them back to health, released them today, and 5 of them have GPS and cameras glued to their heads. Now, the glue is okay. It's not toxic, and they will fall off eventually. But for about 6 months to a year, we get to see what seals really do.
Oh,
and I think that's going to be super cool. They're
think
adorable little
things. Think
how much
information we're going to get.
Yes, how they get away from predators, where they go to find the food. Great stuff. I know. Some of this high-tech stuff really works with animals. I guess you find that. You must have found your practice transformed by technology.
It's made a huge difference. You know, I have lasers, surgical lasers, therapeutic lasers. There's new portable pulsed electromagnetic fields you can send home with patients with back pain.
Wow.
Crazy. All kinds of things. And they're coming out with new things every day, and how to keep up with it and how to afford it. All the digital things, x-rays are absolutely amazing what they can see with digital x-rays that we couldn't see with old x-rays. And neat stuff.
Really? Makes that much of a difference?
Yeah.
I guess medicine improves all the time, but veterinary medicine seems to improve at an escalated rate.
Well, who do you think they tested on, right?
Yeah. Oh, that's a sad one, but true. At least the animals benefit from the test done on animals first. So there's some justice.
Yeah, in the long run, they do benefit, So that's the good side of it.
Well, we've only got a minute left, so do you want to tell people how to reach you, Dr. Kathy?
Dr. Kathy, vet.com, Kathy with a C. And that's spring off page, all kinds of things that I'm involved in. I'm a busy girl.
Well, we can see these wolves. That'll be cool. All right, everybody.
Yes.
We're about to wrap up. We'll have Dr. Kathy back again. Thanks so much, Dr. Kathy. You're welcome. You're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Deb Wolf. Hang in there. We're going to talk about, let me see. I think pet stress is our next topic, so stay tuned.
And anytime you're near.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a clear conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats, nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, let the play. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Is your dog a finicky eater due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness? Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And I was talking to Dr. Carol during the break there about cougars. And I was going to tell her about the wild kind that live in the wild. She was going to talk about one that lives in a zoo. Neither of us was going to talk about the women. We're not talking about those kind of cougars.
These are the four-legged cougars.
Yeah, they GPS'd one. Tranquilized a GPS, didn't let it go, and they discovered unbelievable things, like it's going in and out of people's doggy doors and homes at night and raiding their food, and the people don't even know. It's in the back porches and the schoolyards. They've got footage of this thing walking across school playgrounds and all sorts of stuff like that. So there's another guy who was attacked and it broke his jaw. I mean, these are serious, serious animals, and you have some sad news about cougars too.
Well, yeah, it's interesting that you brought that topic up, because about a week to 2 weeks ago on the national news, here in the United States, there was a woman handler, who apparently had been, a zoo, you know, wild animal handler for many years and was very good at her job and very experienced. And I guess they have a rule, which makes a lot of sense to me, that no handler should ever go in an animal's cage if they're by themselves. Apparently, this woman broke the rule and went into the cougar's cage to feed him, and he ate her, which isn't a good thing.
Are you kidding? He ate her?
Yes, that's correct.
Like, she's gone? There's nothing left?
I don't know if there's anything left, but...
like a horror film. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, bits and pieces. And that is scary. And I think, you know, that it just goes a long way to show people... you know, in a way, and I hate to say this, kind of like the documentary that's been running on SeaWorld for the whales. You know, you might think that a cougar is happy, you know, being fenced in some beautiful surrounding and he's got a mile to run. But again, when you compare a mile or whatever the footage is that that particular animal is allowed, when you take that and compare it to the wild outdoors with limitless acres and bountiful fields to run and jump and play in, you know, it is torture, similar to when a person
is imprisonment. It's imprisonment.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I mean, I used to, when I did some volunteer work at the Toronto Zoo, there were huge enclosures and they were beautiful, but they're still, if the animal's supposed to migrate across a continent or half a continent and it's stuck in an acre, and because you don't want battles, it's only with females and not with males at all. And the males have nothing to do because there's no females to fight over.
Yeah. You know, and I'll tell you,
you know, I mean,
no, you're
very, just like, I'm thinking of lions and how bored they are. There's a lot.
There's a lot that goes on that really is not readily apparent, not only to the general population, but as a veterinarian, I love all animals and I'm fascinated and I adore, you know, wildlife, cougars and lions and tigers, the whole thing. When I was in veterinary school at Ohio State, we on occasion went to the Columbus Zoo, made famous by the great Jack Hanna, and did some work on the big cats there. The day that I went, we did some work on several of the large cats. But what was interesting is, even though when you were a spectator outside and they had the beautiful enclosures that, you know, had lots of room and rocks and trees, when these animals are worked on, and I suspect perhaps in the evenings when they sleep, although I'm not sure, when we worked on these animals, they were in very small metal bar cages. And how long they stayed in them, whether or not they stayed in those enclosures overnight, I can't honestly say. But I think that it's not illogical to assume that at night, when the spectators and the keepers are not on the premises, these animals probably are secluded in a permanent overnight type of environment. And one would have to wonder, just like Shamu at SeaWorld, you know, where do these animals sleep at night, and what is the size of their enclosure, or are they in fact imprisoned like the SeaWorld Shamu movie showed us?
Do you know what bothered me a lot was the fact that it was acknowledged from a safety perspective that some of the animals had intelligence beyond ours. Like, for example, you were never, ever to go near the orangutan cage with loose tools. If you ever went in there with tools, they had to be counted in and out. Because if you ever leave an orangutan with a tool, he will dismantle the entire dome, his cage, other cages, anything. That's how smart they are. So really, should they be there? And why aren't they given tools and given things to build and do? And like, this is a living being that's denied any purpose, really, you know?
Well, you know, you make a wonderful point, and I couldn't agree with you more. And you know, just going back to the whales and the porpoises, if you will, in that movie, they clearly stated the fact that they thought that whales are in fact more intelligent or have a higher level of intelligence than human beings.
You know, from the whale's attacking point of view, you're never going to get out of here. There's no point. You don't, I mean, do you go on a hunger strike? Well, that's kind of hard for a whale to do. So I can hope.
Yeah, your sound is cutting out a little bit, Debbie. You know, the other
no
thing.
No incentive to just keep at it day after day after day after day for dead fish.
Well, and that's a good point. And the thing that I think a lot of people might not even realize is before Shamu or, you know, Shamu number two or three would go out and perform, the animals had been starved prior to the performances so that they, in fact, would work for the fish. Again, I felt sick when I heard that. It's just it's cruelty, in my opinion. That is animal cruelty, and it is not entertainment and not something, you know, it was just portrayed in the wrong light. I think it could be portrayed in the correct light, but obviously the expense and what would be required to do that the right way would, you know, would be significantly higher.
You know, on a related matter, we talked about it last week, those guys charged with hooliganism, people, some women too, who had boarded on behalf of Greenpeace, a Russian whaler. It seems like they are not going to go to prison or whatever time they've done in remand counts, because it seems like they're being discharged finally. So not now. Probably they're very, very lucky the Olympics are in Russia this year, or I suspect they would be in jail a long time. It's interesting what we call criminals and what we call heroes in this day and age, and where that line has to move, I think. Wouldn't you agree on that one?
I think it's a very fine line. And when it comes to these large wild animals on land in the sea, you know, taking these animals and putting them in enclosures and expecting them to perform for people and act as though, you know, they're trained to be a companion animal, it gives people as well as children the wrong impression. And I don't know that it is truly in their best interest, you know, unless you're dealing with some kind of a sanctuary where the animals really are cared for with no financial gain. I think the financial incentive, I think, unfortunately, is what becomes the breaking line between truly promoting, you know,
yeah,
the animals.
That's why the animals there are the sexy ones, not the ones that really need to be reintroduced. They're the cute ones, the ones that bring the crowds. Okay, well, Dr. Carol, we're almost running out of time, so I want to make sure you get to give out your, oh, you do it. Come on. How do we reach Dr. Carol if we want to? This is how, right, Dr. Carol?
This is how, absolutely. You can call our office toll-free. We're here in Chagrin Falls, Ohio, and our phone is 866-372-2765. And if you can't remember that, it's 1-866-DR-CAROL. You can also visit us online at carolonpets.com. We answer dog and cat questions, and we welcome dog and cat owners to call that might be in need of a second opinion, that are looking for a consultation. We review blood and labs and go through these cases with people in great detail to help them.
Thank you, Dr. Carol. Well, we'll be talking to Dr. Carol again next week, and I want to point your attention, Dr. Carol, to stressed pets. If you out there have a stressed dog or stressed cat, or you want to know what to do if that happens, maybe it happens every year at a specific time, like firework time or thunderstorm time or travel time, tornado time, I don't know. We're going to be talking about stress in pets next week. So thank you, Dr. Carol, and everybody else. Be good to your animals. Until next week.
I'm your doggy, and I love you.